We're going to learn a very, very important sugya tonight. It's a sugya which comes up in the Mishnayos in Kelim and Mishnayos in Mikvaos. It's a sugya that's primary location is a Gemara in Chulin and Daf Ayin Aleph to the beginning of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. The sugya is called Tuma Balua and Tahara Balua. Balua, Beis Lamed Vav Ayin Hay, to be swallowed. Tuma, which is swallowed, and Tahara, which is swallowed. What I want to try to do is to define what the concept is. I then want to speak about a chakira with a nafkamina. We'll speak about an understanding as to what that chakira is based on. We'll speak about a practical shaila about a pregnant Eishes Kohen and a bit of a famous sugya. And then we'll speak about a ra'avan that connects our sugya to Bal Yaron Bal Yimatzeh. So we'll try to hopefully make it interesting and relevant. This sugya is very, very important. The Gemara in Chulin tells us that Amar Rava, Kishem Shetuma Balua Eino Mitama, Kachtara Balua Eina Mitma'a. There are two different halachas here. The first halacha is as follows. If I have something, if I swallow something, as an example, which is Tameh, if I swallow something which is Tameh, so that is not going to be Mitameh anything else. It's not going to be Mitameh anything else. So if, as an example, let's say I went to the mikvah and then I ate some nevela right before shkia. So when shkia comes, heref shemesh comes, the sun goes down. So at that point in time, I'm considered to be tahor, even though at that particular point in time, I have some tummy nevela in my body. Since I went to the mikvah and since heref shemesh, even though inside my body at that time is still something which is tame, that which is in my body and tame has no impact. It can't even be mitame anything else. It can't be mitame anything else. That's tuma blua, ena mitama. Something in my body which is tame can't be mitame anything else. The same halacha is true in the other direction, which is tahara blua. If I have something in me which is tahor, that can't become tame as long as it's within me. So, as an example, the Gemara says, let's say that I have within me, I swallow. I swallow a ring, a taba'as, which is tahor. I swallow a ring which is tahor. I then walk into an ohel hames. I walk into a room where there's a dead body. Everything in that room should become tame through tumas ohel, but not the ring. It doesn't impact that which is inside me. That ring is still tahor. So if after I would leave that home, I would vomit up that ring would still be considered to be tahor. But it was within an ohel hames. The halacha is, Tahara Balua cannot become Tame. So what we essentially see is that something which is entirely enveloped or swallowed up, its status is not going to impact anything else. If there's Tuma inside, it's not going to impact anything outside. It can't be Matame anything else. If something is Tahor inside, even if you're around Tuma, if it's swallowed up within you, that's not going to be impacted in any way. The Gemara in Chulin even says something which is, I think, even more intriguing. The Gemara there quotes Shita of, I believe it's Rava Shita there in the Gemara, that what if I would swallow two rings? One ring is Tahor and one ring is Tameh. If I swallow them at the same time, the halacha is that they don't both become Tameh. They don't both become Tameh. Even though they're both inside me, the Tahor one is next to the Tameh one, they don't both become Tameh because Tuma Blua is not able to give over Tuma when it is within me. That's our Gemara. That is the din here in the Gemara in Chulin. Those are the Mishnayos. There appears to be a major machlokas harishonim about the nature of this halacha. A major machlokas harishonim. If you look in Rambam and Hilchos Tumas Meis, it sounds like it's in the Tosefta as well. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tumas Meis, it sounds like, how does this halacha work? Why is it, if it's Tameh within me, it's not going to be Metaher? It won't be metame, that which is outside. How come if it's tahor within me, it's not going to become tame, even if I'm in an ohel hames? So the simple pshat, what the Rambam seems to imply, is that it works me din like a chatzitza, like a protective mechanism. That my body stops tuma from being able to go in, my body stops tuma from being able to go out. That in many ways, it's like a form of chatzitza. It's similar to the halacha of tzamit psil. If anyone has ever seen the pictures of the Kohanim sometimes on the airplane when they fully envelop themselves in that way, there are ways of stopping. There are ways of stopping to go through. It's really some sort of a chatzitza type idea. The Chazon Ish in Maseches Kelim works off of a similar mahalach, and the Chaz Nis writes Nira Shabalua Shehu Tahor Eino Batal B'Mitziuso Ela Sheino Mechades Be'Olam Havayus Chadashos. Says the Chaz Nis, it's still present within you. Just the Chiddush is, and it's Xerus HaKasav, that doesn't have the capacity to create any new Mitziuses. So if I have Tumma within me, there is Tumma inside of me, but it doesn't have the ability to impact anything else. It can't impact anything else, but it's still Tumma. According to, however, there is another view. Rashi in Meseches Nida and Daf Membeis Amid Beis, Rashi writes, Tumma Belua Lo Mitama. How come something Tumma within me can't give over Tumma? Why can't it give over Tumma? Rashi says, Deharehi Kemisha Eina. Ve'emba lomaga v'lomasa v'tahora ishazo. Rashi seems to understand the halacha of tuma b'lua, that which is within me, halacha does not view as being in existence. It's ki'ilu, it's not present there at all. It isn't that it's tame, but it can't give over tuma. Rather, it's not tame, it's ki'ilu, it's not present at all. It's ki'ilu, it's not tame at all. That's a sheet of Rashi in Nida and Daf Mem Beis and Beis. Parentheses. Rishu Zalman Meltzer thought that maybe even Medayik and Rashi, that it's not there, just like in Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa. Maybe it is there for other forms of Tumma, but the passage is, according to Rashi, it's Kemi She'ena. It's also the sheet of the Ra'avan in Simon Shin Yud Gimel, but that we will see a little bit later. What's the Nafkamina if the Pshat is that there's a Chatzitza, but it's Tame within me? Or that it's ki'ilu, it's not even tame at all. What's the nafkamina? Some achronim point out this was a suffix of Reb Chaim Kreisberg. Chaim Kreisberg was a big Talmid Chacham in the last generation. So Chaim Kreisberg had the following shaila. Let's say that you would swallow a tame ring. You would then go to the mikvah. Now the ring, you wouldn't assume it's going to get decomposed in your body. Your body can't decompose the ring. So I swallow that, I have this tummy ring in my body, I then tovel and I go to the mikvah. I am tahor right now. The tummy ring doesn't do anything. I swallowed it, but right now it can't make me tummy. I already went to the mikvah. Am I allowed to walk into the Beis HaMikdash? There is an isser to bring tumma into the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the shaila? If the pshat is that really you have something tame within you, just it doesn't have the ability to be mitame anything else, well then I can't go into the mikdash. Like if I'm a chazanish person, l'chora, that there's tumma inside of you. It just doesn't have the ability to give over new tumma. There's a chatzitza, a separation. But maybe you could argue that it's still tame. So to walk into the Beis HaMikdash with that inside of me would still be a problem because l'maisa tachlis, it's considered to be a tame object that I'm bringing into the mikdash. Parentheses. If I hold it to chatzitza, so then you can get a little bit complicated as far as the halachas of bringing it in if it's in a chatzitza. But certainly if I hold like Rashi and Nida, that it's kemi she'ena, certainly if I hold like Rashi and Nida, that's ki'ilu, it's not there at all. So while it's within me, there's no tumma within me. So of course, the chatzila, I could walk into the Beis HaMikdash if I were so interested in walking into the Beis HaMikdash. L'chora, that would be a nafkamina. So again, the halacha is in the following case. When something is inside of me, when I've swallowed something, so if it's tahor, it's not going to become tame. If it's tame, it's not going to give over tahara. Is the pshat that which is within inside you, let's say with the tumma case, we don't view it as it exists at all, it's given nothing new at all, so welcome to the base of Migdash, it's Rashi Shita. If it is within me, just it can't give over tumma, there's still tame inside of me. If something is tame inside of me, so l'chora, I'm not able to go. I'm not able to go into the Beis HaMikdash. What's this machlokas based on? What exactly is going on here? Why would I think it's kemi she'ena? Why would I think that really it is tame? You just can't give it over. What's going on? So there is a fascinating sort of a chakira that comes up in a bunch of different places in Hilchos. Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Rabbi Daniel Stein, who's Reshiva NYU, extended it to this machlokas, but it's an intriguing kind of a question. Let me begin like this. We know that we have things in halacha that can become tame, but can't give over tumah. There are things in halacha that can become tame, but can't give over tumah. What would an example be? A revi'i v'kodesh. If you're a revi'i betama, meaning there's an avatama betame a rishon, rishon betame a sheni, sheni a shlishi, shlishi a revi'i. So you are a revi'i letuma for kachim. That is unable to give over tuma to anything else. Can't give over tuma to anything else. What do we call that when you can't give over to anything else? Pasel. You're tame if you can be metame something else. You're pasel if you can't. You're pasel if you can't give over to anything else. You're revi'i bekodesh. So here's the following shaila. To what extent, and Achronim wonder this question, to what extent when I can't be metame something else, am I really still considered to be a cheftza shel tuma? How much is the hagdara of a cheftza really being a cheftza shel tuma that I have the capacity to give it over to something else? Say the question differently. Why do we call something tame if it can be metame something else, and something pusel if it can receive tuma but can't give it over? Why is that? Why is that? Is it just a semantics question? It's all equally tame. Because when you can be metame something else, we call you tame. When you can't, we call you pasal. Or is it possible, some achronim wonder, that no, when you're called tame, it's because in order to be tame, part of the hagdara of what's called tame is that I can give it over to something else. Part of the hagdara, if I can't give over to something else, that is called I am pasal, but I'm not really tame. What would be an example? Where would we see a nafka mina of this question? Whether you're really tame or not, if I can't give over anything else. So it comes from the following place. Mechaschina quotes a machlokas, is medayik in a Rambam, that perhaps is a machlokas Rambam raivit about the following question. If a person eats kachim that are tame, we learned this a little bit in Mesachas Makos, if a person eats kachim that are tame, could be their chayiv malkos. Could be your chayiv malkos for eating kachim that are tame. That's for sure true if I eat a rishon, which is tamei, or a sheni, which is tamei, or a shlishi, which is tamei. What about if I eat a revi'i, which is tamei? It's kachim, that are revi'i l'tuma, and I eat it. So it's tamei from a shlishi, that was tamei from a sheni, that was from a rishon, that was from an av. So I have a revi'i of tuma, this kachim. It can't be metamei anything else, because the lowest level is a revi'i. What if a person comes along and they eat that Revi'i betuma? So normally, when I eat tamei kachim, you're chayiv malkus. What about when I eat a revi'i? Am I chayiv malkus or not? So that appears to be a machlokas Rambam and Raivit, so argues the Minchas Chinuch. According to the Rambam, there is no malkus when you eat a revi'i letuma. There's no malkus when you eat kachim that are a revi'i. According to the Raivit, there is malkus. According to the Raivit, there is malkus. What is that machlokas based on? How are we magdir a revi'i? It can't be metame anything else. Is it really called tuma or is it not called tuma? If I learn that really that's called tuma, and the only difference between that which is called tame and that which is called pasal is tachlis, is it really considered to be what we call it? But when I eat a revi'i, that's called eating tuma. So of course I get malkus. That's just how I arrive it. But the Rambam holds that if you can't be metame something else, you're not really called tame. If I can't be metame something else, I'm not really called tame. If that's so applying it to our Shaila, perhaps that's what's going on in our question also suggests Rabbi Daniel Stein. In the following, I think it's a very beautiful suggestion. I don't know if beautiful is the right word. It's a very meaningful suggestion. It's in the sugya of Tuma Balua. That he has the following, following mahalach, like this. Everybody agrees if I swallow a tame ring, that can't give over tuma at that time. Rashi in Meseches Nida says, well, once you can't give over tuma, we don't view you as really being tame. It's not really called tuma. Because if you can't give over tuma, that's called pasal. That's like Rambam Shita. It's not really called tuma. And therefore, it's Kamisha Eina. And therefore, we would say, Lechora, I could walk into the Beis HaMikdash because it's not really considered to be Tame. But if I understand that that's not true, if I understand that when I go in, that you can still be called Tame, even if you can't be Metame something else. So even though when you're in the body, you can't be Metame something else, I'm still a Cheftas Shel Tuma, that Shitas HaRaivit. If you're still a Cheftas Shel Tuma, That's why you wouldn't be able to give it over. The main nafkaminas to that particular question. Let's just chaz what we saw thus far. We saw the following. In general, the Gemara tells us in Chulin, it's a Mishnah in Meseches Mikvaos. The Gemara tells us in Meseches Chulin that when I've swallowed something, that object status is not going to change. If I swallowed something tahor, even if I walk into a Tumas Ohel, it's still tahor. If I swallow something tameh, that is not able to impact or change my status or any else's status. We saw a shaila, is the pshat that it's a din like in chatzitza, it's a separation, or the way the chaznish said it out, the tumah is certainly present there. Just the chiddush is, it can't be metameh something else as long as it's within you. It can't become tameh as long as it's within you. Or is the pshat that when something is within you, we view it kamisha ena, we view it as no longer having any independent identity. Nafkamina, can I go in with this item into the Beis HaMikdash? What's the Hezber? So part of the Hezber may be, in order to be called Tameh, is it definitional that I can come be Metameh something else? If it is, well, since I can't be Metameh something else when it's within me, even two rings in me at the same time, one Tameh, one Tar, it's not going to become Tameh, so then it's not called the Chefta Shel Tumah. If, however, I can still be called Tameh, Pasul, still called Tameh, if I eat a Revi'i for Kachem, I do get Malkus, so then, Lechora, this may still be able to be called Tameh. Clarity as a whole, thus far, 1, 2, and... Yeah, it's up. Okay. The Rambam Shita is very, very complex. The Briska Rav in Bechoros, on Daf Chav Beis, claims that within Shitas HaRambam that there's two dinim in the din of Tara and Tumah Blua, so we're going to avoid that, but the Rambam Shita is complex. Yeah, the Rambam seems to split because I think the Rambam holds that it's complex is where we'll leave it for now. Yeah.
Is it that for Rashi it's stopping, when it goes into your body it's not Tumah?
It's Kiyu, it doesn't exist anymore, yeah.
When it comes out again,
it reverts back to its previous status, yeah.
Would this apply by food also? We're only using examples of like rings and things.
Well, food is, it may apply by food. The difference with food is that food's in you long enough, we assume it becomes decomposed. So the Tumah would be like gone. But this song is the example of Tabas, a helpful example, because it doesn't become decomposed. This din of Tumah Blua comes up in two very interesting contexts, and we'll talk about them. First is in the context of Tumas Kohanim, in a very, very, very famous Kasha, the Magen Avraham. This is a well-known discussion. We have not spoken, and we will not speak, I think, about Tumas Kohanim in this slot, but this is a very important Yisod. We know the Torah tells, beginning of Parshas Emor, the nefesh lo yitamah ba'amav, that a kohen is not allowed to become tamei meis. What happens, a very famous rokeach, what happens when the wife of a kohen is pregnant? Wife of a kohen is pregnant. So the question is, can the woman go to a beis hakvaros? Can she go to a beis hakvaros? Shaila can come up all the time. A kohen has a wife. Wife is pregnant. There's a funeral. Can she go to the beis hakvaros? What's the shaila? We know that the male kohen, her husband, can't go to the beis hakvaros. But what about her? What's the shaila? Maybe her child is a zachar, and the din is that you can't be metameh a kohen. You can't be metameh a kohen. So says the rokeach, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Svek sveika. What's a svek sveika? Says the rokeach. Okay, we call this in shir, I think, one point this year. What's svek sveika? Safek zachar, safek nekeva. If it's in a keva, a female, a bas kohen can go become tameh. And even if it's a zachar, suffix, the baby is going to be a nafel and isn't going to make it. Suffix, the baby is a nafel and is not going to make it. I imagine if you ever get asked to shiloh and you want to be makel based nerokeach, I would not say out to the woman the full svek sveka. I don't know if that is what she needs for her own anxiety and nerves to tell her, don't worry, it's svek sveka, because suffix, zachar nekeva, yeah, lots of svekos. You know, it's probably the way that you would go about and the way you would say it. Ask the Magen Avraham the following question. Says the Magen Avraham, why do I need a Svek Sveika? Lechor, it should be mutter anyway. Why should it be mutter for her to go in? Tumah Blua, Tahara Blua. The baby is enveloped in her stomach. Even if the baby's a Zachar, even if I know Bivados it's a Zachar, I'm walking into the Beis HaKvaros. Isn't the din of Tahara Blua that if I have Tahara enveloped within me, even if I'm in an Ohel Hameis, it's not going to become Tameh? It's not going to become Tameh. So what exactly was the Chashash at all? There should be no problem. There should be no problem whatsoever. Why are we nervous at all? What about the din of Tara Blua? So there is a somewhat famous answer. It's found in the Achiezer, Chaim Ozer. It's found in the Kovei Shiurim. Rabbi Chanan has it. Rav Shechter quotes it in an article in Bikvei Atzon, develops it at length. The following Yesod. It's true in general that there is an idea called blua. There is an idea that when the baby is in your stomach, when something's enveloped or swallowed within you, that it should not be able to become tamei. It protects you from becoming tamei. That lechora is pashat. However, they suggest that maybe le'inyan tumas kohanim dafka, maybe le'inyan tumas kohanim, this din doesn't apply because there's a lot of evidence that the iser for a kohen to become tamei, and this is a very surprising idea, it's not actually iser for a kohen to be tamei. That wasn't really the iser. The iser was that a kohen is not allowed to have any degree of hiskarvus el hames, to be close to a dead body. Most of the time, if you're close to a dead body, you become tamei. So normally we refer to them interchangeably. But there are certain cases where you may be close to a dead body, even though technically it wouldn't be metame you, that's included in the prohibition, l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. That a kohen, even if you could find a certain kind of exception, if you're within the close proximity of a mace, in certain situations, that would still be considered a problem. Therefore, suggest with Chaim Ozer, suggest with Elchanan, maybe that's the pshat. Maybe that's the pshat here. What's the pshat? That when it comes to a kohen, so this child of a kohen, in a chanami, why does the rokeach need a sfek sveika? Because even though the Magen Avraham thought the iser was a kohen is not allowed to become tamei. So in a chanami, as long as the zachar kohen is in his mother's womb, it can't become tamei. But the rokeach understood the iser is not about technically becoming tamei. You're not going to become tamei. The isra is of his hiskarvus el hames. You can't come close to a dead body. And that's why we needed the sfek sveika. Safik zachar, safik nekeva, even if it's a zachar, maybe safik nefel. That's why we need it, because it's not really tali in that. What that means, therefore, is the sugya of tuma balua and tara balua, that particular sugya is relevant in many contexts, but it is not relevant in regards to the isra of tumas kohanim. For tumas kohanim, tuma balua may not be good enough, because if you're really right next to it, you're at a base akfaros, that may be called his carvus el hames, and that may end up being a problem. Clarity as a whole? 1, 2? Okay. Now we get to an awesome Ravan.
Why wouldn't Yerachim only play in that?
It does play a role in that. You know, when we learn Yivamas, we'll talk about it. Okay. There's a fascinating Ravan. I don't know. There's a fascinating Ravan in Simon Shin Yud Gimel. The Ravan understands like this, and there are two steps in the Ravan. I'll say that. If we were like learning this for real, we would do it a little bit differently. But the Ravan writes like this. What's the status of we know we have the idea of balua, of a blia, not only in regards to tuma, but we have it when it comes to iser v'hetzer also. A person has a pot. And that pot can have within it, that pot can have an iser, which is balua in a pot. Maybe you cooked a pot with non-kosher, basar b'chalav. There's something that is absorbed in the pot. There's a blia in that pot. Says the Ravan the following chiddush. He says, kishem shetuma balua kiman delesa damya ve'ena mitama adinafka kach iser habalua lo aser adinafik. Says the Ravan, the same way that I hold a pshat in tuma balua is that in tuma balua it's ki'ilu that which is enveloped doesn't exist, i.e. he's quoting which shita? Rashi shita, ki'ilu it doesn't exist. So too, in the realm of iser v'heter, if I have a treif thing in a pot, it's ki'ilu that doesn't exist in the pot, just when it, same way if I have a tame thing, when it comes out, it becomes tame. So when does it become a problem if I cook in that pot? When the blia leaves the wall, if I cook and then it enters the food, that's when it becomes a problem. But so long as it's within the pot, it's not tamei. It doesn't exist at all. What's a nafkamina for that? What does that mean? It matter at all? Says the Ravan, nafkamina le'inyan bal yira and bal yimatzei. What's the bal yira and bal yimatzei machlokas? The hachamit the pesach imitman le over bal yira and bal yimatzei imatman le. I'm not allowed to store in my property chametz on Pesach. Okay. What about my chametz kekelim? My chametz kelim are filled with blios. They're filled with blios. They have blios of what inside of them? Chametz. They're absorbed with chametz. Shaila's about, should I be selling my chametz kelim on Pesach? If I do, when I buy it back from the non-Jew, am I now chayv in tefilas kelim? Because it came through a non-Jew. Says the Ravan, v'imhu balua bikdera, if I have blios in my pot, I have absorbed in my pot, our chametz things, lo avar, there's no iser of bayiram bayimatzei, umutter lashoso adla achara pesach, and I'm allowed to just keep until after Pesach. Oh, and after Pesach, though, I'm going to use that pot again, and then there's going to be chametz, things coming out of that pot, says the Ravan. The Ravan says, you're right, there'll be chametz coming out of the pot. But the chametz is actually being created then and there. Over Pesach, it was ki'ilu, there was no chametz in the pot at all. Over Pesach, it was ki'ilu, there's no chametz in the pot at all. So what the Ravan does, something which is awesome. It's a 2.5 to 3 step kind of a move. Step one, I hold in the sugya of Tuma Balua, it's Kamisha Eina. It's ki'ilu, it doesn't exist. That's step one. Okay, not all would buy step one. The Rambam may not agree to step one. The Chaznish may not agree to step one. Even in Tuma, it's ki'ilu, the Cheftishal Tuma is there. You're right, it can't give it over, but the Cheftishal Tuma is there. That's step one. Step two, which is a big chiddush. Reb Chaim pashtus in the stencils. Reb Chaim did not agree with this chiddush. The Ravan understands the idea of Tuma Balua is relevant in the world of Isser also. That is the Ravan says, I can extend from Tuma to Isser. We've seen this question a couple of times already. How much can we extend certain ideas about Tuma and extend them to Isser Veheter? The Ravan learns that when the Gemara in Chulin quotes a Pasuk, that Tuma Balua can't be Metame, the Ravan learns that our Gemara taught me a chiddush about blios, that blios are kamisha eno. Reb Chaim says, no, it's a special chiddush in regard to Tuma Vitara. You can't extend it to other contexts. And now there is a third chiddush of the Ravan. Not only does he learn that Tuma Balua is kamisha eno, not only does he learn that we can apply that to Isurim in general, but here is interesting, he applies it to Balyeira and Balyimatzei. He applies it to Chametz. Even if you were going to tell me that Tuma Balua is Kamisha Eina, and even if you were going to tell me that it's Kamisha Eina, and therefore it can apply to regular pot with tray food, we know that we have significant evidence that Bayiran Bayimatzei, that the Isser of Chametz on Pesach, we are particularly Machmir. Chametz is Asr B'mashu, and we know that we have standards, the very well-known Tshuva of the Radvaz, we know that we have standards in regards to Chametz on Pesach, which seems to break the normal rules of how halacha always functions. That's the Radvaz there. Why are we so machmir chametz on Pesach? I can't own it. I have to get rid of it. All the different steps. He says, "Ainli ela divrei agada." All I have is agada. It's different than all the halachas by avodah zarah. Different than the halacha by basar b'chalav. Ela mai, what do I have? Says the Radvaz. It's connected to yitzhar hara, and we're extra machmir about it because all I have is that world of machshava. What's the pshat in the Radvaz saying? The Radvaz saying, even if according to normal halacha, it doesn't make sense, in regards to chametz, we're extra machmir. So I think there's another assumption in the Ravan, this third assumption, which is even if I hold it's true by Tuma Balua, and even if I can hear even to some place of Yisurim, he's saying it's even true by Bayiran by Matzai. It's even true by Bayiran by Matzai. It's Ke'ilu, it's Kemisha Eina. It's Kemisha Eina. What's interesting about this, I'll just add one more step. The whole mahalach we had from Rabbi Stein earlier about is something called tamei if it can't give over, understood the whole machlokas, the machlokas about tuma. Is something called tamei if it can't give over. The Ravan gives us an entirely new mahalach. It's a machlokas about the nature of blios in kelim. How much is something which is balua nechshav in halacha? Is something which is enveloped and swallowed up considered to be an entity in halacha, or is it not? That's the way that he views this shaila. It's kamisha eina because it's ke'ilu, it's nothing. Nafkamina is in many other areas of halacha. So we learned tonight a very important machlokas about the nature of things which are balua. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Ayin Aleph, it can't be metame, it can't give over tuma. We saw a chakira machlokas harishonim is a pshat that it is tuma inside of you, just it can't give over, or is a pshat that's kamisha eina. We saw that maybe based on a machlokas about tuma v'tahara is something called tame if it can't be metame something else. Is something called tame if it can't be metame something else or not. We saw that nafkamina, can I go into the mikdash with it in my body if I bring tuma to the mikdash? Is that pasher or not? We saw that even though you're not considered to be tame, could be for tumas kohanim, we don't care. Tumas kohanim may not be about whether you're tame, whether you're close to a mace. And we saw that for Bayiran, Bayimatzei, the chiddush of the Ravan, Rav Vantas has halacha lemaisa ramifications for kelim, in particular for bairam bai matzah, that the kelim I have are not, it's ki'ilu, it's kemisha ena, the belia doesn't exist, anything which is enveloped does not exist. So this machlokas about tumah belua and tara belua is machlokas in the realm of tumah v'tara, but it may also be a broader machlokas in general how you relate to blios. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. Hope that was